Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this week's broadcast of the Pure Sex Radio program. We are glad to have you with us here. We are coming to you live from atop the Pure Sex Radio Network in the secure radio room here at the network. And my name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm here with my co-host, Steven Cervantes. So, Steven, how are you doing this morning?
Wonderful and glad to be here.
Excellent. Well, we want to talk about some stuff that has to do with treatment today. We want to try to really throw a lot of different resources your way so that if you're a man who's listening and you're wondering, hey, what can I possibly do about this struggle that I've got with lust and sexual addiction and pornography or whatever your particular struggle may be, we want to try to help you develop a plan of treatment so that you can know how you can tackle this problem with some real tools, not just theory and pie in the sky type of things, but some real tools. And so, Steven, why don't you maybe go through the different layers, the different aspects of treatment that might be helpful to our listeners?
Great. Love to do that. But I think we have to set this up. I think as a counselor, I would want to talk about a few presentations, if you will. How do the calls come in? And they go like a remorseful guy comes in and says, you know, I've had an affair and it's not the first one and I've got to stop myself. Or a father says, I just found my kid on the internet and I've looked at the history and he's been doing this for a long time. Or a wife is threatening to leave a spouse and say, if you don't get help, and says, if you don't get help, this is over. Or maybe the credit card bill came in and there were questions about what was charged, and now you're caught. I talked to one of the leaders of our church, and I said, how come men don't just volunteer and come forward to work on sexual struggles? And he says, don't you know the rule? The rule is no man has a problem until he's caught. So that's usually the presentation, and the first thing people think of is you better get into counseling. So they'll grab a phone book, a phone, and they'll start calling around, maybe call their local church and say, where could we go? Who do you know? Or just look in the phone book and go, counseling, let's see, who would I go to? So there are several ways that people access a counselor, but usually it's a crisis and I've got to do something and it's desperate, it needs to happen now. So they call and set up an appointment and start to make progress in terms of unfolding a treatment plan. Does that make sense so far of the presentation and how they come in? And okay, so shall I keep rolling?
Yeah, then what would you say then to any one of these individuals calling in about helping them kind of start getting on the path to purity?
Good. So first they'll come in and I'll do a little bit of a history and try and see what's going on. But then I tell them this. I say, number one, you've got to do some individual counseling, just one-on-one, dig into the story and start to work. And let me just pause and say, it doesn't always have to be a professional counselor. There are elders in churches and deacons in churches and bishops in churches and leaders in churches that have experience and just older guys that have messed up before. You're not the first. So if you could find an older, wiser man that knows the story and is willing to walk you through and listen to your story and give you some ideas, maybe a mentor, you can either work one-on-one that way or with a professional. And then you need to do group work, which means you need to get in with a community of men that recognize they've gone down this pathway far too long and too deep, and they've gotten in trouble, and they need help from others. And group is, you know, I've gone back and forth with the value of group. Individual is great because you do a lot of individual work, but it's also slow. Group work is like speeded up education. Ideas are flying by. Guys are telling stories. You're thinking, I thought that thought, but I would never say it. And he said it, and somebody answered it, and now you have new information. And his story is like your story, or you go, oh, I would never think that thought. I'm glad I'm not there. Just lots of things happen in group that are really important. Then, so we got individual counseling, do some group work. Number three, you got to start reading on the topic of sexual purity, sexual struggle, sexual addiction. Unfortunately, most of the books are about sexual addiction, and it's those guys that have gone too far and then fell off and broke things and messed up lives that came back, and they're trying to educate the other guys. And so now we see some sexual purity material being developed, but it's, you know, you got to read on whatever you put your hands on in terms of the sexual struggle to educate yourself for better information, because most men don't talk, especially about this topic. It's quiet, and everybody figures it out on their own. And then number four, I would say accountability is really important. Most men will say, I do this privately, I do it alone, no one knows, it's my secret. And whatever you figured out how to do very well alone, you probably can't stop doing alone. You need more people in your lives to ask you, are you doing that stupid alone thing again, or are you trying to be in community with the rest of us? And so two or three men in your life, in your face, that know and care and love you, that are helping you get back on the right path, is a very helpful thing.
Okay, so let me just clarify kind of these 4 points you got as far as these components of treatment. You've got number one, you've got counseling. So that's just kind of an individual, like you said, kind of a slower process of really digging deep and uncovering a lot of layers of patterns, maybe layers of history and abuse or anything like that that's going to be helpful in understanding how to deal with the topic. The second thing is group, being plugged into some type of a regular group setting where you can kind of hear the stories of other guys. You can begin that process of dipping your toe into community with other men. The third component there is education or reading, being able to get your mind trained on the topic of sexual purity as well as maybe sexual addiction. And then finally, accountability, having a couple of guys in your life who they know the good, the bad, and the ugly, and they are there to sharpen you and keep you moving forward. So,
could I add one more?
You bet.
I'm glad this is like regular guy radio, not perfection radio, because I just realized on my notes I skipped one. Bible study and prayer.
That's probably pretty important, don't you think? Actually, you know, I think you could take that one and probably weave it into every
single other one
as well.
But I think daily prayer, putting the right frame on in the morning and going to bed with the right frame is critical.
And you know what I think is also important about that aspect of Bible study and prayer is, in a different sort of way than these other things, it helps to teach discipline to a man's spirit. And I think you know,
yes,
this being a counselor, that any person that you've dealt with that has sexually addictive tendencies has had at some point in their life difficulty being disciplined. I mean, the sexual addiction itself is a very it's based on your mood. How do you feel? And so there's usually not a lot of structure, especially in the spiritual man. And so the Bible study and prayer can really help to start, okay, I'm going to start focusing every day, even if it's just for 5 minutes.
Have you ever noticed how that spiritual thing involves discipline?
It does,
The flesh just likes to lay around, eat potato chips, watch TV, and,
exactly,
you know, stretch out and, you know, not do too much, but that spiritual part, it just somehow feeds on, needs, requires discipline. So that's good. I'm with you.
Well, so now I think we should talk then about how a guy is going to take these 4 or 5 components of treatment and then say, okay, how do I actually get these things into my life? Because, you know, I have guys that contact our ministry quite often and say, hey, listen, your website's great, your, you know, resources look super and all this stuff about counseling and group and all that, but How do I start? Where do I go? How do I get this stuff that you're talking about that sounds great? You know, hey, I'd love to have, you know, a couple of guys in my life who we really sharpen each other. Hey, I'd love to have a counselor that could really understand this issue and help me with it. How do I actually get those people into my life?
Okay, so let's talk about counseling first, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things we've learned is that a large percentage of individuals with an addiction, alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction, a high percentage have some trauma in their past that they didn't deal with very well, and now they're acting out in ways that are built upon this trauma that occurred. And so it's kind of important to go and do some individual work and see if there's trauma that's driving the whole system. So how would you find a counselor in your area? Well, one of the things that I would suggest would be call the large churches. The bigger churches usually have lots of resources. So number one, if you're looking for a Christian counselor, you could call the church office and say, who do you guys use as a counselor in our area? Or do you have counselors on your staff? And if not, you know, in bigger communities, you call two or three of the large churches and you can quickly find out who's doing what and what resources are available. Number one. Number two, what we have in our city is a couple of universities that train students and their master's degree people that are supervised. And so sometimes money's an issue, and I'd suggest that they go there and ask for a Christian counselor to do some reduced fee kind of counseling. Also, you want to check your insurance benefits and find out what kind of benefits or for individual counseling coverage you'd have. And then I'm a big proponent of ask for a Christian counselor. It's important that the insurance companies all have Christian counselors available. And the Christian community is so large, but you have to ask for a Christian counselor.
And then also, we have resources on our website at bebroken.com. for helping individuals find counselors in their area.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have some relationships with folks who even do phone counseling. So if you're in a highly remote area that maybe you're just in small town USA and you really don't have anybody in the town that's qualified, we have some individuals who do telephone counseling that are very, very good at what they do. But you can find that information out on bebroken.com.
Let me tell you one other thing. I've often directed individuals in other communities to call 1-800-A-FAMILY. That's Focus on the Family, and they have a database of counselors, and 1-800-NEW-LIFE. They also have a database of counselors.
Mm-hmm. So then some of these other components, how can we get let's say for instance the group. How do you get a guy plugged in with a group? I mean, what's a good process of getting him from saying, okay, hey, group sounds good. How do I get started? Where do I go? Where are some groups?
Well, let's both brainstorm this one, okay?
Okay.
Because I think you have to be aware that in the community is a SAA group, Sex Addicts Anonymous, and they're like a AA group. They're not necessarily Christian. They're not Christian-based. They're just general support groups that meet in communities. And you could just look in the white pages of your phone book and just look up SAA. You could also do a Google on it. But that's the community groups. Then we're back to church-based groups because some of the churches are recognizing the need to offer men support. And so they, you know, call again, starting with the largest churches in your area and work your way down because the larger churches have more resources and they do more activities. And so that would be one way.
And also, as far as Christian-based or church-based groups, Celebrate Recovery is a group that has spread all across the country. And they have quite a few, kind of the way their groups work is they'll have a general session where kind of everybody's in there, and then people will break out into specific group topics. Maybe some are for anger or alcohol or eating or sex or whatever. And that's a good resource as well. And you can find out more about Celebrate Recovery at celebraterecovery.com. And they've got information there on where their groups are located. And really, I guess, Steve, what this all comes down to is are we going to and you can tell me if you get this with folks that come to you. Do you find that a lot of people who have a struggle and are looking for help, do you find that a lot of them have that initiative to really go out and do all of this legwork, or are they sometimes coming to say, how can you give me the magic pill and make this all go away? I mean, because what we're talking about here is getting on the phone.
I vote magic pill.
Yeah, we're talking.
We should all have one for all our problems.
But myself being a former sex addict, I mean, don't you? I know that it was like when I started realizing all of the work that was involved, making phone calls, talking to people, telling my story.
Well, it can be overwhelming, but I think the process should just unfold over time rather than this weekend, do it all.
And bingo, I think that's the key, is I think the more that people, because even in this short broadcast, we're throwing a lot of tools at a person. I mean, if you're out there listening and you're already starting to feel overwhelmed at this point in the broadcast, that's okay. You should feel a little overwhelmed.
Hit the pause.
Yeah.
Catch your breath. Sit down a minute.
Because there is a lot here. But like Steven said, it's not something that you have to look at as, oh, I got to have this all my ducks in a row in the next 48 hours.
No, you didn't make a mess in 48 hours. You're not going to clean up a mess.
Exactly.
In
and so
hours.
I think it's important to make that point here, that as you take these resources and begin to cross them over that gap to implementing them in your life, it is going to take time. And I'd like to just say a few things about crossing that bridge between, okay, knowing in your head what it's going to take as far as counseling and group and accountability and education, and then actually getting those things implemented in your life. And a huge component of that is patience, because you're gonna call one person and then you're gonna realize, oh, this person we don't click, or they don't have the experience or the background in sexual addiction to be able to really help me.
That's right.
So then you
pause, catch your breath, back up, start again, don't quit.
Keep looking.
Yes.
And also another component of getting these things implemented into your life.
Hey, let me just, if your counselor or your friend has this glazed over deer in the headlight look, then you know it's time to look for another counselor.
Exactly.
Sorry,
yeah.
Keep going. You had
exactly.
a great thought rolling there.
Well, I was going to say, you've also got to learn to initiate. Because when I was, you know, I was a sex addict for 13 years, and I'll tell you, in that amount of time, I didn't have anybody just magically knock on my door and say, hey, I think you've got a problem with sexual addiction. Can I help you? It doesn't happen that way.
Just a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't happen that way. You have to be able to initiate and really take the initiative to find a counselor, to find a group, and be willing to look around. Yes. And then finally, you've also got to be persistent, because as you know, it may take two or three counselors before you find one that really knows their stuff and you really feel like, this is somebody that can help me.
And really, you should actually interview the counselor. Mm-hmm. Ask some basic questions. Mm-hmm. How long have you been in practice? How do you deal with men that have sexual struggles? Are you comfortable with that issue? Can you give me some general advice just on the phone right now of things you say to those guys?
Yeah, we're kind of running out of time here, so I wanted to also get back to the topic of education and the reading. I encourage guys to at the very least, read one book a year on the topic of sexual purity. It's better at the beginning of your journey to read more than that.
Yes.
But
I'd say in the first year, try to read two or three books on purity.
Exactly. And we want to give you some suggestions here of some books that are good, kind of by the top sexual purity gurus, so to speak. Mark Laser has written a lot of really good stuff. One of his recent books, it's actually a revision of a former book of his, is called Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. And it's an update from his former book, Faithful and True. And then Patrick Carnes, who is kind of the grandfather, so to speak, of sexual addiction education and resources. In fact, he's the person who coined the term sexual addiction. He's got lots of good resources. Stephen Arterburn, of course, is the author of co-author of Every Man's Battle, which is a hugely popular book. And then finally, Steve Gallagher also is an author who's done quite a bit of work through Pure Life Ministries. All of these resources you can find through our website at BeBroken.com. But just be sure that you're reading something that is, first of all, good material, and second of all, something that's going to really help you increase your understanding of the topic. Because what I found when I started my journey of working towards purity was that as I started reading these books, boy, it really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I had been doing that I just hadn't recognized before because I simply wasn't educated on the topic of sexual addiction. And so these books are going to be very helpful. And one final thing that I'd like to share about the education process is as you're reading these books or as you're going to counseling, as you're involved in a group, journal. It's really, really critical, especially at the beginning of your recovery, to be writing down your thoughts, your feelings, the responses you're having to temptation, because you're going to start getting a written record that's going to show you, hey, okay, these are some patterns that I'm seeing that are now tangible to me, and I can start making a strategy to deal with these particular patterns in a very real sense.
And so the last area is to make sure that you talk to several men in terms of accountability, that not just you and the pastor have this new little secret. He knows you know, nobody else knows. You really need to have two or three men that you know and trust that will call you regularly. You know, if they see you at church, they'll ask you, how's the struggle going? How'd you do this week? What's going on? If other men know and are asking us, then we tend to reach higher and strive to be better men.
Excellent. Well, that's all our time for this week. I hope this was helpful for you guys, and we look forward to seeing you back here next week. Time for this week's Real Answer to Real Question. And I had a guy contact our ministry who is helping another gentleman who has a history of sexual sin with lots of women. He had a job that took him all over the world, and so he had a lot of different experiences sexually with women. And recently he had an episode where he had a fantasy to expose himself in public. And this gentleman has been encouraging him, saying, you know, that he knows that the fear of consequences is a good thing, but he doesn't want him to become so enamored with the fear of being caught that it draws him back in to the addiction as some type of means for excitement. And so he says, you know, what can I do or say to discourage him from continuing down the road to exhibitionism? And also, how can I help him get off this fixation of variety in sexual experiences? And so my response back to him is that I told him I would have a similar type response to what he's already encouraged him to do. You know, fear of consequences, or fear in general, is only a good short-term motivator. Fear never provides the inner strength and cleansing necessary to consistently live an ongoing lifestyle of purity. It's ultimately love and community, in other words, relationships, that provide what a man truly needs to live in purity and holiness. So the more you can encourage this man to pursue connection, the more he will be able to practice using the tools necessary to live every day in purity. Exhibitionism is often a symptom of self-esteem issues and deep feelings of inadequacy and shame. Where these scars form is different from man to man, but the rush he experiences from such behaviors is powerful and must be broken through honesty, humility, and a willingness to be mentored and held accountable for his time and behaviors. Be strong with him that the power of the addiction, exhibitionism included, lies in secrecy. As difficult as it is to be honest about the struggle, especially in recovery, it is essential that he be honest about the feelings that precede his wanting to act out. The more he can condition himself to connecting with someone immediately when he feels the urge to expose himself, the better skilled he will become in avoiding the temptation in the first place. As with any sexual acting out behavior, fantasy is a building block. His fixation on a variety of women is evidence of this. As with the exhibition temptation, fantasy must be redirected toward healthy thoughts. Fantasy in the sense of creative imagination is not inherently wrong. It becomes unhealthy and sinful when we take that God-given imagination and direct it at self-centered pleasure. Then it becomes a dangerous, addictive monster. Therefore, to attack fantasy, it's imperative to first become skilled at recognizing the moment in which thoughts begin to drift toward unhealthy imagination. And when such recognition occurs, yes, it's time to connect and break the cycle. The main thing to remember in combating unhealthy fantasy is redirect. A particularly helpful scripture passage for me has been Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We're never instructed by God to empty our minds, but rather to fill them with truth. So attack the moment of unhealthy fantasy with redirection toward truth and purity. Got a special promotion that I would like to tell you about that we're doing for this week's broadcast. With all of this talk about treatment and the different things that you need, I want to recommend a book that we are going to offer to you for a donation of $20 or more. This is one of the most comprehensive books that I have personally used in my own sexual addiction recovery, and it has helped lots of men who I have personally counseled and mentored. And it is Mark Lazer's Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. It is such a comprehensive look at all the many factors of sexual addiction and what it takes to heal and break free and walk in purity. It's just an outstanding resource. We would like to provide you this book for, again, a $20 donation or more. We will send it out to you. Just contact our ministry. We're going to give you our contact information in just a moment. Mark Lazer is one of the foremost experts on sexual addiction and offers a solid biblical perspective on how to deal with your sexually addictive behaviors. Again, the book is Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. Contact us today and we'll get this resource out to you.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.